Okay. No announcements. Any public comment? We see no one here from the public. Beth, rather, no public comments. Okay. And what's up with the age cap report? Is Stephen here today? I don't see him.
I don't see him. He did send it out earlier. I shared it with everyone.
Yeah.
And he said he's looking forward to seeing us. So maybe he's just running behind for some reason.
Maybe he's a little late. Well, should we just sit on that for a while?
Yeah, if you guys want, we can just put a hold on that. Maybe he'll show up and Melina can do the update on needs assessment and COLA.
Yeah, that sounds good. See if Steven shows up. That would leave us up to Melina now with needs assessment, COLAs.
Sure, just for a second.
You're still with us, Melina. Is that the ghost of Melina? Or is what's
the... Yes, it is. I, the ghost.
So it's really good seeing you.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, it's good to see all you. I'm here until my last day's next Friday. So I have a couple more meetings until then. Sorry, my screen was freezing for a few seconds, but I'll just provide the COLA needs assessment update. Right? Cool. So we did our first COLA last week. Thank you so much, Derek. The group was great. Now we're all working on, you know, like typing up notes and putting together the data points and all of the kind of the post-COLA work that goes on. With the needs assessment, we have, Dave put together language to send to providers that they can share with their staff. And so we're working on getting in touch with folks to try to put together interviews and focus groups. So that's in progress. I don't think I have much else to update on. I don't know, Dave or Kira, if you want to add anything.
I was actually going to ask Derek if he wanted to talk about how he felt the COLA went the other day, and if he had any thoughts on that process or his experience.
Sure. I don't have too many thoughts on it. I have a very talkative group, as you guys discovered, and there's a lot of comments thoughts and ideas that the guys have, again, as you guys found. I want to thank you all for coming out. It really did stimulate a lot of conversation for some of those guys. Some of those guys are fairly isolated, and I think that kind of contributes to some of their talkativeness. And there was also just a lot of like very sort of, I think it was sort of the first time they were kind of exposed to the sort of consideration that goes into the funding stuff. So there was some interest in finding out more. I thank you for that.
I thought it went really well. I thought that the group was had some fairly interesting and examined perspectives on these things. They're clearly people who had been engaging with the system of care for decades, and had some positive and negative thoughts around the system. And I think we were able to get to some points of conversation related to their feelings around the epidemic, their place in it as, you know, as it stands now, and what sort of how the strategies that are being applied to the epidemic do or do not include them in some ways. And so I thought it was actually a really interesting and fruitful conversation. Lots of quotes, And yeah, I mean, they are talkative, but that is our hope. If they don't talk, we've failed somewhere. So,
how many were there?
9. Is that right?
And that was long-term survivors. That was the COLA. Thank you.
Yes. So yeah, good start to the season of community engagements, focus groups, and such.
It's really good to hear, and I really appreciate all the work you guys are doing. Thanks so much.
Yes. And that kind of is really it. I think we're at a really formative stage, needs assessment-wise. We are working on developing the survey tool and maybe trying to come up with some interesting ways to fine-tune and evolve our recruitment and also sort of data collection process. So there were some interesting ideas. One of the ideas that we heard from the group that we had in COLAs, which I think is super pertinent to what we're doing, is, you know, they talked about how in the past there's been things like volunteer massage services on like a drop-in basis. Shanti used to have massage on a drop-in basis. And they were saying they really missed that, you know, missed having that experience. And some of them actually talked about having somebody do like pedicures or manicures, not just for a sort of the sake of vanity, although that's totally valid. But some of them are, you know, older folks who, you know, if you have any older folks in your family, you know, they don't necessarily, can't necessarily get to their toes especially well, and sort of give themselves a pedicure. And I know that requires, you know, a license and all this and a lot of other stuff, but it was thought-provoking in that, you know, they were saying, oh, well, you should do that. And I was like, you know, maybe we could align with somebody doing pedicures or massage and have a drop-in space where we can then interview people and also they can get a service while we're doing it. Just looking for additional ways to improve outreach and have a sort of bonus value added to their experience beyond just a gift card and lunch. So things of that nature we're working on. Beyond that, I think that's it.
Thank you, everyone. Yeah, all of a sudden we're up to, I don't know if this is still on the item, Kira, returning to in-person meetings. We were going to talk about that. Item 8.
That should have been taken off the agenda.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
So, I mean, just because the council leadership has basically settled that issue for us for the next, you know, for a couple months, didn't feel like it was worth getting into this meeting. We just made space for it, or made space for the other agenda items by removing it.
Yeah. By the way, group, I contracted after 2.5 years in, just over 2 weeks ago, and it was not mild, quite frankly. I went to the hospital. They gave me Paxlovid. Crying about it. It's gone now, you know, but it lasted, like the severity was like 6 days. I was scared because I had gone through 2.5 years without this, with a lot of high exposure outreach. I still remained safe, but I thought it was kind of in my mirror. And the savagery and speed this thing hit me with got my full attention. It sucked. Anyways, but it's all done now. And I reflected on like the hundreds of thousands of people before medical science took over that didn't make it through those symptoms. So it was really a reflective time. It sucked.
I'm really glad you're feeling better, Richard.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm hearing of so many people that are testing positive all over the place, clients and friends.
Yeah, and I tried to backtrack. People I was around didn't get, I don't know where I got it. I really studied. I started developing like what felt like a cold coming on, burning eyes, chest, congestion. I got home from the beach that afternoon, and that night it just hit me like a train, like nonstop for the next 5 days. It was like, wow, I felt violated. But anyways, yeah, it is over now and I'm grateful. So with that, unless we wanted to, we each have, David gave us the Dropbox for the age cap, but we wanted to look at that on our own. Maybe we wait for Stephen sometime, another time. We're at the end of the agenda, it looks like. How do you think we best proceed?
I just called Stephen. Sorry, this is Beth. I hid myself to call. And he answered and said he was hopping on now. So I think he was on the way to the meeting when he saw the call. So he'll be here momentarily.
Okay. Just wait then.
Yeah, thank you so very much.
And Richard, I'm so glad you're feeling better. I'm very sorry that that happened.
Yeah, thank you. I don't want to be too deep here, but like it brought back a lot of things, you know, because I thought I got by this. And when it was proof in the pudding that I had this, like I said, it felt like when I first got my diagnosis almost 20 years ago, it's like, wow, this thing got me. And I didn't like how it felt. And I'm in recovery long-term myself. And some of the thoughts that come back is like, you just want to change the way you feel. And so it's dangerous for people's recovery also, just like surgeries or anything else. But anyways, thanks everyone. And here is Stephen. Hi, Stephen.
Stephen,
you're on, kid. You ready to go?
Stephen with guest.
You're still muted.
I am so sorry. I apologize profusely, folks. We are in the process of onboarding our new law clerks. They are sitting right behind me. I hope you guys are okay if they join as members of the public today. I'll have them introduce myself, but just for purposes, I'm Stephen Spano. I'm the HCAP staff attorney at the AIDS Legal Referral Panel.
Hello, I'm Rudy Centeno. I'm a law clerk in training here at the ALRP.
I'm Camille Tabari. I'm another law clerk in training.
Welcome, everyone.
Thank you all. I want to, there's a couple of things that I want to point out. It is my time, right?
Yes.
All right. So a couple of things that I wanted to talk about that I think are of high importance. And then first, I wanted to thank our government partners at DPH for their support in finally resolving a longstanding grievance that we had with a service provider. At one point, it was basically a privacy issue. You may have seen it on the report for a long time. We were talking about someone who received some information on their MyChart that it contained information and people's names who they didn't recognize and an appointment that they did not make. And it was disconcerting for that client. We filed a grievance back in 2020 and had a lot of difficulty getting a response, which then became my biggest concern, which is why or is there no response? I learned a lot through that process, and I have found that there is some effort within that service provider's network to try and resolve some of the issues with response times and how they manage grievances. So I view this as a very strong success for the program, not only because this client, who I just heard from today, was very happy with the with getting a response, but also that I'm hearing that the working through the process and being tenacious about it also highlighted some of the challenges that the grievance process within the organization had. So I want to thank especially Beth for help with that. So there's that. I would also like to highlight, I'm seeing a number of the RCFCI cases coming up again. This continues to be an issue. There is a higher level of cooperation that I'm seeing between the service providers and the RCFCI, the providers that are providing the services. What we are, the kind of challenges remain. The white space there for housing navigation still exists. We have not been able to identify a lot of support for people who are looking for housing and the service providers themselves. You know, really what it comes down to is, you know, it's falling on case management to do this work, and case management simply cannot do this work. There's just no, it's being viewed as a case management issue to locate and support clients in finding housing. And that's just not what the role is designed to do. And so it winds up, being extremely burdensome from service provider perspective, and two, very stressful and traumatizing for the clients, because the people that they are being told should help them are not in a place to help them. So it's creating a lot of problems, continues to help create a lot of problems. In my role, the way that I can support is trying to make sure that the people come into a room together, that providers are communicating with one another. That seems to be happening from my perspective. The challenge is, one, a lack of housing, two, a lack of funding for housing, and three, a lack of support in finding and locating the housing. And those three things have been true since last year when this all started going down. So there's that. With that, I'll kind of defer if there's any questions. There's not really a whole lot of other notable cases, kind of, you know, juicy ones that I think require extra advocacy. A lot of it is, run of the mill challenges and boundaries that I'm working through, but I'm happy to report on anything particular if anybody has any questions.
Hi, Stephen, this is Derek. I just want to just underline what you highlighted. It is incredibly frustrating for clients and for case managers in this sort of weighted expectation that you can case manage or case managers are tasked with finding housing for individuals. It's so stressful, and it's been that way. And as you pointed out, it's been that way for a while. And I wish there was some way of resetting that expectation. Hopefully, this raising awareness around. How that can happen in terms of who to actually go to is actually just a wonderful, wonderful approach. Like we just have to reset that expectation.
Yeah, so. I want to acknowledge that. I'm not the authority on this topic, but it does appear to be one of the challenges that we face when we start looking at housing being healthcare. And while we simultaneously know how critical housing is for people living with HIV and it being, a critical, resource for them to maintain their health, the healthcare system isn't set up to support, especially when there are no housing resources. It's like writing a prescription for a miracle drug, and there's no such miracle drug. It is a challenge for the community. And Bill and I and AORP, we are all of the mindset it is not just it's not just a provider problem. It is a community problem. It's a government problem. We continue to advocate for all of our government partners, including the mayor's office and DPH, to try to find a solution for this. There has been some, and I'm happy to share this out. I've shared it with some folks from the listserv that I am a part of. I did receive a list of organizations in the city and county of San Francisco. They are not all HIV AIDS providers. None of them, I think, on this list receive funding from HHS. Not at my first glance, it doesn't appear that any of them receive funding from HHS, but I will read the initial echo, which is we definitely should have housing navigators to support people living with HIV AIDS. I wish there was a way to find funding. I don't know if there's we're in the middle of the budget advocacy too, so I guess we need to wait to see how that all shakes out before we can really come up with a firm solution.
Thanks, Stephen. Anyone else have anything for Stephen? Okay. Thanks again, Stephen.
Thank you all.
Welcome to the guests.
I'm gonna depart. I'm sorry I missed announcements, but I'm gonna let you all go so I can. I have to train these folks, otherwise we're all gonna be behind. But I appreciate you, and I'm very sorry for my tardiness.
Later, man. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Okay, everyone. Does staff have anything, or anyone else have anything before? It looks like maybe an adjournment. And it looks like the next meeting is scheduled for July 6th. And so if I may, before we adjourn, just if I don't get to see, or we don't get to see you again, Melina, thank you very much. And wherever you go, you're gonna be really awesome for whoever you're with. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Richard. Yeah, it's been a pleasure working with all of you, and and this committee especially has been really awesome. So thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Okay, everyone, then we'll be back here on July 6th.
Happy Pride, everybody.
Everyone be well. Thank you.
Hey, Kira and Melina, can you hang on for just a moment or two?
Yeah.